Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Man from Osirian, Mummy's Mask, an actual play podcast of Pathfinder's first edition Mummy's Mask Adventure Path. We are filming episode 11. You can find us at www.rollmongers.com, where you will find YouTube links and Twitch links to find the stuff as the actual live video when we recorded it, and some light editing, some leveling, this and that, but we don't really, you know, I don't think we're cutting too much out or doing really much editing. You know, it's pretty raw, even though we're not twitching this live kind of thing. Because we don't know how long we can get this bonus night in. So we're just trying to get footage up and then get it up to you at least once a week so that this one, and one of my personal favorite adventure paths, I might say so myself, gets up there to you. Going around the house rather quickly, we have an old man who's cloistered. He's a cleric. He's a scholar. He's a Renaissance man. He is Arif Dalhalla Baja. But what is your name, Frank? I can never say this properly.
What? My name? It is Arif al-Bashir Anas.
Anas. Thank you. Next to him, sort of a parental thing going on here. You feel kind of bad for the young man with one hand on your one side and the strange, pale, the river man, they call him in the ancient Osirian language. The Oracles of Wajet would start calling this guy the river man. An android one side and a Suli youth on your other with one hand. One is played by Ryan Messina, and the other's played by Matt Witt, both friends, long before I met either one. I knew Matt. I said, come play Mummy's Mask. Come play D&D. No, I'm busy. Come podcast with me. No, I'm busy. A year of 50 people later, and Frank Hamilton wins the 2016-17 audition. Ayn Willems wins the 2017-ish audition. And we decided to put this down. Because we were just sick of, like, reloading people and players that where their wife couldn't let them commit, their job couldn't let them commit. It's cursed, I tell you, it's cursed. So we put this down in 2016 and April 2017. It's our three-year anniversary, Matt, because he comes into my store. I say, let's play Star Wars. He's like, sure, what time?
Yep.
See you next week.
That's legit exactly what happened.
That's exactly what happened. I said, Star Wars. He's like, no, here you go. And he brought Ryan. And that's how I met Ryan Messina. In my basement, and we were introducing my son, 15 at the time, and then you guys brought Rob, now not Rob Hammond, but a different Rob, the sock puppeting droid, and fast forward, we add Frank to that show, that's 3 years old, with Attack of Opportunity, and then we had Dice for Dishonor, and then, and a reboot of this, with some female cast members that are rotating in and out, and we're back. Oh, I'm so happy we're back, because this is one of my personal favorites. This technically is the reason I started Rollmongers Podcast, Rollmongers Podcast Network, because we had a whole bunch of other shows, but it was going to be one show, and here we are. Episode 11, Matt.
11?
11. 11 episodes, more than an hour each. I'm so happy.
I don't want to jinx it, but I think we may have broken the mummy's curse.
The mummy's record. We'll see. We'll see. And then all of a sudden, technical problems ensue. You are looking at a map of the Asp district, the poor part of town, and at a part of it, because this district kind of waves all the way along the bottom of the city, which is turned sideways along the river, and we're heading to the nicest tavern in the seediest part of town. I believe that's what you said you wanted.
Yep, that's exactly what I want.
That is the Whispering Stone. Care to tell the boys a little bit about it?
Oh yes, the Whispering Stone. It is run by a matron who goes by the name of Tet Blackblossom. And it is rumored around town that she's actually a witch. So perhaps be on our best behavior. The real attraction of this establishment is the ancient statue of an unknown pharaoh, which I think you, Arif, would be very interested in seeing this if you have not been before. Many come to this tavern to kiss the statue in some effort of gaining its blessing. It's a superstition, but you know what? It can't hurt.
No, well, absolutely not. I mean, all superstitions have a foundation, at least somewhat, in the spiritual. So yes, it makes me wonder where this thing would go, or would lead to. I wouldn't mind tipping back a drink or two there. Yes, it'd be exciting.
But of course, right this way, gentlemen.
And I'll lead them from the entrance of the necropolis down to the tavern. It's really close, so bonus.
There's extra circles around the tavern. Gentlemen, entering the Whispering Stone. In the late afternoon, it's actually pretty quiet. I mean, it's the first day the gates opened. There's still crowds of people at the gates, you know, watching, hoping, waiting, cheering, like prep rally, pep rally kind of thing, selling merchants back and forth, people that will go in and come running out. Oh, we need more rope, you know, something like that going on. So again, it's like the parade, the fanfare, the pep rallies downtown. And out here, it's kind of quiet, especially this part of day. Miss Tept Black Blossom is human, a Grundy woman, in her early to late 30s. And she, with a skeleton kind of crew, it's not a very big place, is tending her tavern. But you can, I believe, get a room here, cheap, easy, and at least a drink of some decent but affordable selections.
I'll reach into the sack of pieces,
mm-hmm.
draw out, say, 5.
Okay.
Put them in my pocket, and then stash the sack of coins so it's not particularly noticed.
Okay.
Before we enter.
Mm-hmm. So you do this on the street in the worst part of town.
As we're moving along through the from the entrance of the necropolis, yeah.
Okay.
So I'm going to try to do this
sleight of hand, stealthily.
Yeah, stealthily.
As I reach for the city random encounters and big pockets, you know, just walk along with this jangling bag of money.
Sleight of hand of 18.
Okay. So, fine, I'll put it. Okay. You're pretty sure, you know, no eyes on, that kind of thing.
And then, you know, as we approach, and this, my friends, is the place I was speaking of.
So, you guys step in, and you assume that the not unattractive female of 35 winters, or planet cycles, R-E-N, is the proprietor. What would an android drink if invited to do so with organics? With
water.
Okay. The woman is pleasant.
I don't think I'm going to allow that.
So what do you like?
I'm not even going to ask.
You know, just like standing behind him going, no, we want a drink. He gets the first one. That kind of over jester kind of shit.
You know what? We'll go in, yeah. I'll lead them to a table, mm-hmm. sit them down, and I will go deal with the proprietress myself.
Okay.
Gentlemen, if you will have a seat, I will go get us some refreshments.
Do you like puzzles, Arif? I know Frank hates them, but Arif, do you like puzzles?
Yes, it actually helps build mental agility, so they say. So yes, it's often that I find myself locked in these kinds of mental challenges. Yes.
The entire structure, including the bar itself, which is adjacent and built off of an ancient statue, which is buried in the sort of hard bedrock sand, you know, mixture that's become solid floor. It's not like shifting sands of the East anymore. Through time, is really just sort of a shoulder and neck affair sticking out with the head cut off right at the bottom lip. And there's not really a bunch of a face or whatever. There's some, you know, some defining features, the back of the head of you, right? And it's maddening because there's a giant piece of history that's been defaced. Get it? No?
You had one last time, and this time...
Yeah, the last dad joke was better.
They can't all be gems, Messina. I just gotta throw them out there and see what happens.
Yeah, I'm gonna not catch that one.
Okay.
In fact, I think we're leaping out of the way.
Sorry. Oh, it was good. Fuck you very much. So anyway, you made me lose my role here. How maddening is it for a scholar to look at a piece of history with not enough evidence that you could decipher or figure out, you know, what it is? Like, imagine, like, the writing on the wall, it's so worn down, or the paint from half the hieroglyphs are gone, that it looks like garbled. You know what I mean? I'm just curious to, like, you know, an educated man,
Well, you know, the easiest way to identify information about this is get your basics first. I mean, what period was it crafted in? What famous craftsmen were around during those ages? See, all that's what's so beautiful about the written word is it has durability. in that all of these things, there exists a record, be it a script of parchment, a receipt, even if it's something as trivial as a piece of stone that was cut from the cliffside and moved here. There's records of everything. And if you're willing to put the work in to read through these copious amounts of journals, you can find the answers. And I have devoted a vast deal of my life to uncovering such pieces of seemingly trivial information.
Hmm.
So yes, I look upon the lip, as it were, and in it I see the signature of its craftsman.
Okay. Now,
so to speak.
Do you remember how I said that this is sort of like the building surrounds it and the bar is built off of it?
Uh-huh.
For argument's sake, let's say he sat you near a table that's actually quite close to this. And you see the odd patron come in, you know, and actually use the stone. Come over and whisper in its ear and, you know, give a little two fingers to the lips and two fingers to the stone. The sacred kiss. You know, or the local drunk just making out with the face, you know, he's just clinging to it, that kind of thing. I'm just curious your views on superstition.
Well, it depends on your core belief system. I mean, if... For example, this is a physical representation of the deity to which you worship. Then everything you whisper to the ear is a direct conduit, as it will, to the powers beyond. And prophetic words may fall from the lips into your ear. So I can definitely see the allure of even just humoring a fancy, if you will, to speak a desire, a question, and anything into that ear and listen. Because you never know when Pharasma may... dole out some piece of information to suit the greater fates. It's fascinating. We could talk about this endlessly. I mean, honestly.
Okay. Arsuli orders drinks. Are you talking something like an ale, a mead? Something like hard, stiff liquor?
Wine.
Wine, okay. Okay.
I think the clergyman would appreciate the wine.
Okay.
You know, it's not too heavy, but it's still got the oomph.
Yeah, the spice wine in the afternoon, sure. Okay.
Do they serve food here?
Yeah, they have your assortment of flatbreads and oils and olives and, you know, all your afternoon kind of a meal and kind of a snack thing going on.
Yeah. Get our cheese and olive platter. And negotiate a room. And not even thinking, I will get a room for three people. Assuming that...
they're going to stay here?
Yeah.
Something big enough for the ring? Okay. So she takes your order, you know, motions for you to sit, and she'll bring it over and, you know, see about the room. You rejoin your companions. What is the plan for the rest of the day, guys?
Not COVID, I swear. well, we still got to hit the markets before it gets too late. So after refreshments... I don't think we really have anything in the way of gear we need to stow.
Everything you got in your pack? So are we, like, flashback to a chariot that's, like, full of crap and half disassembled on the floor with our chests and all, you know what I mean? Like, what did you guys take out of there, that list? I'm assuming something like the case of scrolls is probably left behind. Those golden books, likely left behind. A couple potions, in Arif's pocket, right? The new spear, someone's carrying it. The new copish, someone's
all Vex grabbed was, you know, the, like, bag of gold.
Weapons and money, okay. But all your mundane treasures and all your bric-a-brac, I'm assuming, is back there, right? I'll even be so kind to think that you guys spent the time and strength checks to, like, reseal the tomb, like, you know, push the stone back over the giant wheel and try to get the door closed, you know?
Yeah, for sure we would have secured that.
You know, after the scorpion incident, right, you know, walk back in there and, like, they're nesting. Ah. All right.
Five of them this time.
Yeah. Thanks for leaving the door open. So, sure. You guys want to get the rooms and hit nearby my other little circled square.
What is the price on the room and refreshments?
Oh, it's affordable. Like a room for three and like we're talking, you know, copper silver kind of thing. It's you certainly don't need to put any kind of gold.
But I will.
Okay.
So she'll like quote like a silver value, and I'll take one of the gold pieces out,
mm-hmm.
and I'll drop it on the bar, and I'll just say, Well, let's just...
She mouths the words, keep the change. Keep the change.
Yeah.
You want me to keep the change? No, sorry. She's a witch, right? Make a saving throw. Yep.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, what, for what? What do you want?
Willpower.
Oh, this is going to go well for me.
Roll for initiative.
15.
You know, who knows? You know, keep the...
15 willpower
save.
Oh,
This is lovely. Thank you so much. Do you want me to keep the change?
But of course, mistress.
Okay. I'm not saying she's a witch. I'm not even saying if he failed or actually made any kind of saving throw. I just asked for it because the rumor is she's
a witch. I'll put the coin down and I'll say, in anticipation of excellent service, keep the change.
Thank you. It's most kind. She says very breathlessly. So you go back to the table. Time passes. You guys have a plan. And she serves you personally.
Excellent.
Welcome. Putting down the tray and doling out cup after cup. Leaning over. You know, make sure you get a good look at that bare wrist. You know, I mean, leaning over. You know, if somebody on the side want to lean back and she kicks up and maybe the skirt comes up the ankle. There's some ankle action going on there. You know, that type of thing. Yeah.
Oh, calm down. back in my day, it was quite inappropriate.
Yeah.
Thank you for the refreshments.
You're quite welcome. Such a generous group. The first I've had today. I'm curious, gentlemen, about a rumor I heard recently. First of all, it is an honor to serve a member of the Holy Church of Pharasma, she says, and she sort of tilts, closes her eyes, half closed, and gives you sort of a bit of a bow. Will you be staying with us this evening? Curious, looking at the cleric.
Well, goods have been purchased, and he did rent a room for us, so it would be wasteful to throw that to the wind. But I expect no shenanigans.
None at all. I will try to provide you with the most comfortable cot we have in our largest room, Father.
What are shenanigans?
That's an old Verissi word for goings-ons.
What are goings-ons?
Can I have a perception from Arsuli?
Certainly. Huzzah. 11.
It's not lost on you that the android revealing his nativity is most amusing to your hostess. After a little bit of back and forth, she does place two fingers on his armor, and you also notice that she takes a minute to keep the hand there linger and just kind of slide off the shoulder just a little bit as if she's sort of feeling the metal. I assure you, I do not run that type of establishment, Father. Though she almost seems to be fondling the guy's armor. But let me ask you this, changing the subject, she says, and she starts laying out the plates with the treats and the flatbreads to you guys and puts the tray on her hip and kind of takes more of a kind of pose, you know, try to get some truth out of you. There's been a rumor of late that the faithful of Wajet have redoubled their efforts maintaining the riverbed. That a man, and she just kind of slowly turns her head towards the android, has emerged from the river as some sort of sign after several witnessed a falling star further upriver within a 10 day ago.
I believe she is referring to me.
Her eyebrows light up in delight. Like, that was easy. Really? Anyway, she just went through the motions of welcoming and honoring a priest. So now she turns to you. And in the same, now being a rogue, being a street guy, you see the setup. She's used the priest as a setup to talk about religion and ingratiate herself to him, and now wants to know if this guy's like the chosen one or something. This is a setup. It's like she's not looking to con you guys, but it's obviously that she's pumping him for information. For a street rogue, like, this is one of the oldest tricks in the books. Really good service, but you get something out of it. She's serving you personally, you know, that kind of
thing. So before she gets to carry on much further, I'll kind of like look towards the entrance and go, oh my, look at the sun. If we wish to hit the market, we should go now. I'm terribly sorry, mistress. Perhaps we can continue this conversation another time.
Okay. A bit of a wicked grin in your direction, young Suli. Of course. But she does leave by saying towards R3N, that would please me greatly, she says, smiling quite beautifully and batting her eyelids at R3N. I would like to know more about all of you, as long as you are my guests here. Gentlemen, and she, you know, turns and does the slow bump, bottom, 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 walk away. You know, like,
she walks with a swagger.
Yeah. And you got the tray. And there's some jangly bracelets on the wrist and a jangly bracelet drawing the ear and the eye to the two exposed parts.
As soon as she's out of like earshot, so to speak, I'll kind of lean and listen to Ren. You should be more guarded with your information, my friend. You never know how it could be used against you.
Well, she was referring to someone who walked out from a river. I'm sorry, but are there many people who come walking out of the river?
No. Not many at all, my friend.
Erefin, you are aware, being like these guys were unconscious for a couple of days, you are quite aware now what the Suli's on about from what little you had told him about this, you know, phenomenon that's going on with the priests of Wadjet and rumors are spreading and, you know what I mean?
We live in fascinating times. So it only would stand to reason that the events that unfold even around someone as humble as myself would indeed be fascinating. The fact that this one here seems to walk from a river that no one saw him climb into. Yes, it's all fascinating.
Master Arif.
Yes.
Has your society discovered carbon dating yet?
Excuse me?
My apologies. That is unfortunate.
It's carbon dating. Is that a text? I'm not familiar with it.
Of forms. Perhaps in the next 300 years we will discuss of this.
And the scene pulls back slowly out of the Whispering Stone, a little time shift, and comes down on those of you that wish to actually, I'm assuming it's all three, wish to go to the market to trade goods and get what you guys want.
Frank knows what we got to buy.
Okay.
And Ryan knows how to carry it.
Okay.
I got you guys. On the shoulders.
So.
And I'm just there to make sure we get a good price.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
The one-handed discount, right? Because you have one.
Right. Which, by the way, as I am walking through the town, my arm's always tucked into my, like, I don't let people see I only have one hand because that's a bad sign.
Yeah. You might. It's almost like you have thief branded on your forehead. Not that would ever happen, you know, but they go right for the hand here. Actually, in ancient times, Frank, you know, like where the penalties were like quite literally an eye for an eye and a hand for a hand around here in the old times.
It's often that a stern lesson early in life can prevent a lifetime of misdeed. So perhaps our friend here is on the higher road. I have hopes that everyone will see and recognize the futures that Pharasma has set upon. I hold no malintent against anyone who's made mistakes in the past. I judge them on the actions of the current. Pharasma willing that they shall all play out.
Cool. Let me bring the scene down to the edge of town, the edge of the desert, the 30-foot necropolis wall looming and causing a shadow from the west towards the east. Now, you guys are south of the wall, so the shadow isn't cast over this part of town, but it's so daunting, and with the sun setting rays hitting it, almost glowing, the brown yellowish stones, it sort of casts a shadow of, shall we say, of its presence over what is known as, anyone? Mending, remember? Mender's Lane?
Well, that's not where we're going, though. We're not we don't have anything to fence quite yet. We're going to head to actually like the direct market.
Oh, you want to go downtown? Sorry.
Yeah. We're not. Yeah. Sorry. I should have maybe explained that.
No. That's fine.
Like, we got nothing.
Where do you go?
The guys in Mender's Market would be, you know, they might be the ones who would take some of the artier pieces off of our hands at a more decent rate. But no, we need to buy like a cart, a block and tackle, a couple hundred feet of rope.
Okay.
Yeah, or donkey. Camel or you want to know? I think donkey. Donkey suits this party.
Okay.
And camels are notoriously hard to deal with.
All right.
All this speed.
So just throwing up, like while we were talking, Frank's been putting up a couple things you want, just so that the audience and ourselves can kind of keep a running go of this. And I've pulled up your party gold from that sack. So you want to buy a block and tackle. Now the prices in here are your world prices. Like,
yes.
Keep in mind, you guys are very aware of market price, you know, changing, fluctuating, supply, demand could be all over the place, right? So you're going to a general merchant, somebody that can kind of get you like the A's and B's of adventuring gear, or like you're not after metal, you're not looking to sell stuff, you're looking for someone that sells equipment.
Yes.
Okay. So can I have a knowledge local from the two of you?
Oh.
About the ins and outs of the main market here.
19.
28.
Gentlemen, known as the Sunburst Market, is remarkable for two things. First, this time of year, now the city trades itself on funerary goods, like things you need for a funeral, and ships them up and down river. The city's come known for this, and it's famous necropolis. That is why Wati is called the Half-Dead City. Here at the Sunburst Market, you can buy just about anything that isn't too exotic or to, you know, like overly, you know, like illegal kind of, you know what I'm saying? Okay. Now, what the city has, which I think is really neat, is there are stats for characters, there's stats for a city, right? Corruption, crime, economy, law, lore, society, how big it is considered a small city, you know, special qualities of the city, it's considered pious, that it, the whole place is a sacred site. It's also a strategic location and tourist attraction. These can all affect the marketplace. Tourism usually ups prices. So does sacred. So does, you know what I mean? So like, as opposed to a general store, there are a lot of things that can help up and down prices. Now, competition, we're flooded with tourists all of a sudden, and people want to have comparable prices so that you go to that merchant, not the one down the street. At this time of day, enough hours have gone by that that initial rush is over, and now, like yourself, there are people emerging. They did a building quickly, and they're mad. They just want to re-gear a couple things. They've suffered losses. They're going to temples. Even Old Man Arif can tell you that himself, you're getting healing for free because he's on the adventure, but the churches will offer healing at, you know, your regular rate, that kind of thing. Resupplying equipment, you know, shouldn't be very hard and overly expensive. Aziz, Emil, Adil, Awati, this guy, that guy, Garundi, Kalashite, even from overseas, you know, everyone's bringing wares, but mostly Kalashite and Garundi merchants. Even with a 19, not just the high roll, the Arif pulled, okay? The merchants believe that the pole that is erected in the center of the Sunburst Market, which has leather thongs and dangling cut-off hands that come from thieves that they have caught, and the penalty is losing your hand, Askar Suli, still is there today.
I have no idea what you are talking
about. Even after 10 years, it's still there. And the merchants find it lucky. So they believe the closer their stall is to this post in the center of town, the better their luck will be in commerce that day. So I put it to you, would you think that someone that has a merchant near the pole would give you a better deal, or someone further away?
I think somebody closer to the pole would try to get themselves a better deal.
So you want to start, you know, just work your way around and find somebody that's looking a little desperate on the outside?
Yeah, let's okay. Whip the fringe.
Okay. Now, that knowledge was comparable for the 19 and up. Old Man Arif, your thoughts on this? Or are we just letting the Suli take this one?
Well, it stands to reason that he who is closest to the pole has wares that were worth more, so he can afford that premium location. So if you wanted to pay top dollar for something, then I would expect to look closer to the pole, because his wares were probably of a higher caliber of quality. The further out you go, the more you have these clingers on, and the more likely you are to find things that perhaps may have migrated from an original owner's pocket to another's.
So you're saying the quality might also degrade the further we get away from that post as well. That's something to consider.
It's all based on the value of an item purchased.
Okay.
But if you're lucky and someone is far enough out in the fringe, perhaps their sales are so low that they would literally sell the cart and all of its wares for one price, hoping to cut a deal.
Ah, that's true. There are kits available. Your basic adventuring kit, like with a bunch of things that they believe, you know? And of course, haggling, well, you know, you guys know, what if I bought this and this together? You know, there's some negotiating. So, what about our paladin? I know you're new to these lands and this type of culture, but anything to add, R3N, about shopping today, this evening?
And which means shall we carry all of this equipment?
Arif and Vex just look at the paladin. Well, as you already know, and I'll like open my vestment to show my severed hand, my carrying skills are a little subpar.
So you would recommend that we'd get a vessel?
I would recommend, since we have at least a small amount of coin, go out to the fringes, find one of these wastrels who at least has a cart and a horse, because those are both things that we may need to transfer these antiquities, right? If you can find those and the poor sod that's got them, perhaps you can do a twofer. Yes. Make his day and make our life easier.
You are so wise, Master Arif.
Well, you know, back in the earlier days, I was one of these. I would buy and sell parchments and inks from traders, and then turn around and try to make a deal. All in an effort to buy these ancient tomes that explorers would pull out.
Very well. On the edge of town, you said Master Arif.
I'm just assuming. I mean, it's not like I have any kind of knowledge based on the market.
Nothing.
Right on that way.
Yeah, knowledge. Knowledge. I shall local. Return. Okay. So,
and R3N goes marching off in that direction.
Okay. So, R3N, you're going to ask locals for directions to somewhere where you can buy a donkey and a cart, and he's sending you to the edge of town.
I am going to follow the last directions I've given until I come across the first cart and donkey.
Okay. Well, Arif points you on a road on the edge of the market. You're heading immediately south. Actually, I think it's east. Let me just double check my map here.
Oh, Master Arif, what have you done? He's going to spend all our coin on nothing. Oh, God. Ren! Ren!
You didn't give him any money.
Rush behind him.
No one gave him any cash.
No, but he could still make a deal that we'd be expected to honor.
Yeah. That's true.
And I'll catch up to him and be like, listen, let me do the talking here. I'm good at this. I can get us a deal. Speaking of a deal, that reminds me, I remember a certain vendor. This way, and I'll keep heading down the street.
Max, it is R3N.
Oh, terribly sorry, R3N. It's a very strange name.
Okay. So, Arif, they take off in one direction, the other guy goes, and before you decide to shuffle either way, they come flying, the Suli comes flying back past you. So, are we following the Suli?
Yes. Yes, this way. Othrin, this way. He's going to come this way.
Blankly keeps going without acknowledging the
Othrin. That's not a bad name. It could be worse. I actually like it because last time you ended up being called Rin, and this time with a memory set, you're called something else. So that actually is pretty cool. So kudos for that. So you say you remember a merchant here from 10 years ago, and you're wondering if he still works at this place. That our Suli's gonna, take you guys out there. So, sure.
Yes, a deal. I remember him from my travels through here. If he's still in town, he was the guy to go to.
Your go-to guy.
Right?
So sweet.
Yes.
So we're gonna look for a go-to guy and see if we can make a deal.
10 years older. Different clothes. But, and a Katapeshian accent. Perhaps you gravitated to a countryman back in the day. A Katapeshian accent. The merchant you know was 10 years ago. He was polite, good-looking guy with the classic Arabic-style sort of Katapesh oiled curled mustache and a trim goatee. You know, wore decent clothes, but nothing too expensive looking. Was very good at haggling. And what did you say his name was?
Adil.
Are you looking for Adil? The man's name is Adil. Has a habit of talking about himself in the third person. So as you're running around, it's the voice that first attract you. Can I have a perception check, gentlemen?
From all of us?
Mm-hmm. Different reasons.
11 for old man.
Okay.
22 for Vex.
He's caught in a loop.
20, not natural.
Okay. Remember they were talking about sending you for a donkey and a cart and getting a deal? Mm-hmm. Okay, you look around. There are people here with little wagons and servants. Rich, wealthy-looking people that can afford to put stuff into a small cart and have it pulled by a servant and, you know what I mean? To have such items to approach the market speaks of personal wealth. Possibly not a logically good idea to roll up with that stuff and then try to shake a guy down for a deal. Well, he can obviously see you've got a horse and cart that you can afford right there to put it in. You don't seem very poor. It's what I think you would take away from this. Arif, it's been a while, and you usually do everything through the church, so you don't really notice anything different or out of place. This place is what you'd expect. And with 22, that voice...
Hello, my friend. Adil has a deal for you. No, wait. Where are you going? Oh, okay. You. Yes, you.
And just this type of thing. And he's doing his haggle. Hello, my friends. You know, that kind of thing. You think you hear him. You hone in. Some gray. You know, the guy was like early 40s, possibly. Now he's early 50s. You know, some gray. Still that, same mustache, same goatee. A lot heavier than he was around the middle. You know, gray hair, different turban, different kind of clothes or whatever. But you know what? Same cart, same colored faded canopy. Pretty sure this is your guy.
Most excellent. Hello, my friend. It has been many years, and I can see the time has been good for you. And I'll poke him in the belly.
Okay. without... I'll give this for free, okay? Instead of calling for yet another perception, you guys notice that someone calls this guy friend, he immediately reciprocates without even checking to see who it is. Oh! His eyes even close, and he acts all happy. Oh, my long-lost friend! Turns around and just clasps shoulders on whoever's poking him. Oh, it's so good to see you again! What can Adil do for you today? Come, come! I know why you've come. Adil knows, huh? And he comes over and he's looking you up and down and starts assessing what you might need. And he's poking and picking up things and he just starts showing off a bunch of junk. Obviously, trying to offload something at the end of the day that has a low chance of selling. Eh? And he starts going on about this. This is no ordinary lamp. It won't change the destiny of a young man's life.
No, like my friend. Today my needs are of a more practical nature.
Oh,
We have been fortunate enough to do very well on our first day in the necropolis. So we are in need of transportation to return
really?
The items to the church.
He frowns at church and then for the first time seems to notice the other two. Oh, oh, Father, I did not see you standing there. Is he with you? Tell me he's with you.
Yes, yes, of course he is with me.
Of course, he rolls his eyes at that, like, oh, great, it's just my day. Of course, he's with you. Father, come, please, you know, your young acolyte. I was just speaking the best deal of the day to young acolyte. Is your acolyte and yourself in need of transportation? Ahas, Adil has exactly what you need. Come, please, don't be shy. Please come over, you know, the type of waving you guys over from standing back from the booth.
Yeah, move in and start looking at wares and things, even though it's totally not what we're looking for. He'll hold something up and... Yeah.
Oh, you have a good eye there, Father. You know, that... you know what? Never mind. I don't think that's for you.
And he takes, like, the bong from your hands and puts it... the hookah pipe set, you know, with the embossed dancing girl on it.
What's the name of that crazy drug that they're doing? Like, they're snorting the remains of the dead people?
No, you don't think I would never, no merchant worth his salt would deal with that. No, get out of my shop. No, wait, don't go. Okay, come back. You see Arif pick up this hookah pipe set and facing you guys, and Adil is like, you know, the dancer, and Arif is looking at the back of it, hasn't noticed, you know, the Arabic porn. That time he's looking at it and he's like, oh yeah, you got a good eye, man. And he remembers who he's talking to. He's like, no, wait a minute, you don't want that. And he's kind of like puts it down, girl facing away. No, Father, I remember what you want, you know. And then you guys actually mention the drug, the mumra, the...
No.
Okay. The okay.
Mumra.
The mumra. Sorry.
That's totally the wrong franchise.
Yep. But still.
Sorry.
That would totally be the street name. You know that would be the street name.
I recently set Matt's phone ID to Thundercats. And sorry. It's kind of stuck in my head. So anyway. No, my friends. I got what you want to do with it. So you guys just like give him a list? Or are we going to start with the donkey and the cart? Or?
Yeah, we'll start. No, we will give him the list, and I'll be like, and because we are bringing our business to you for everything, I think you could give us a little bit of a deal.
I saw what you did there. This
the
is
diplomacy, you know, of 28.
Yes, that's a good. Because we're such good things. Good things go between us, and we're such good friends. I'll let it go this time. So, let us say a finder's fee for items I don't have here. But,
you know, adding that to the price of the items that I do have, I give you the location, the price, the name, and you drop my name, and I swear on the... Lost the name here. I swear upon the old gods and new, on Phrasmus Spire. I'm just kind of bowing towards Frank, right? Going through the different holy symbols. You can hear, you don't see them, but you hear them jangling under his shirt. The Phrasmus Spire. The Phrasmus Spire. Upon the, you know, it's like, there's notes on the back of it. Like, you know, it says the Phrasmus Spire. Ah, the Phrasmus Spire. Yeah, that's it. That you will not get a better deal if you go and try to, you know, just walk up to them without dropping my name kind of thing. And you know, anyway, he offers like a little piece of paper know what I mean? Because you could just go, thanks, bye, and run off and drop his name, right? So he'll write you, you know, like a recommendation chit so that you give them that, and he swears you guys will get, you know, a lot off. We're totally worth his finder's fee. Yeah. Swearing upon. Yeah,
it's like the dudes in Vegas when they give you the little flyers.
Yeah. There you go. Tell me more about this Vegas. So do you know what happens in the Vegas state? Never mind. So you DM the players. So you guys have hit me with this list here, and it's five. You guys want to block and tackle, as in like, yep, the big chunk of wood that you can has the groove to guide the rope up and over to disperse weight. You dangle these.
Yeah, so it's a block and tackle is a
two gears with the
mechanism. it's two pulleys,
mm-hmm,
with a mounting.
Yep.
Bracket.
Gotcha. And that usually is about 5 pounds.
Oh, and some rope too. Okay. Some rope too. Yeah. Okay. 200 feet.
So that's,
so what's the price on rope? I think it was a gold for 50, wasn't it?
Yeah. Generally, a gold for 50, five for the block. Don't normally, right? He's telling you, you know, finder's fee, he'll give you a deal on the cart. So he claims it'll be, you know, a good deal for you. But getting more stuff off
Wait,
of him.
I forgot. Detect evil.
Okay.
Okay.
You do.
What?
Detect evil is a 60-foot in front of you source.
Oh, is he evil?
How many rounds till you can define the exact source? You
assuming it's three?
Is it like round one, the presence of evil? Round two.
I'm imagining it's like detect magic. I will dig into this.
Okay. But yeah, you just casually, you know, you're facing them and everybody, and then ding.
We are in a market, so there's going to be some bad dudes here, you know what I'm saying?
I'm just saying, there might be some handling having to happen. Maybe. Actually, higher functions.
Okay, so while he's looking that up, I only see cart and block and tackle and rope. Like, what else did you guys want to buy?
Sorry, good care, Matt.
I think that's pretty much it. Is there anything else we need?
How much rope are we talking?
200 feet.
Okay, so that's obviously like 4 gold. So,
yeah.
Okay. Okay, so I have, how many block of tackles do you want?
I think two's probably a good idea.
Okay.
Yeah, just in case.
All right. So two block of tackles, a way to secure them, like a brace, boards, great big wooden planks. Like, what are you going to tie?
Yes. Brace and boards.
Okay.
A TP on both sides, a balance beam across the top. You'll have the overlays.
Okay, so we're going to need some raw material as well to put together a lift.
Again, if he tells he wants to send you actually to the dry dock area where the dwarves are, and you'll be able to get raw materials. It's called the veins, and it is the gray dock area on the top right there. You see it on the edge of the map.
Okay.
You can get raw materials. They specialize in tar and whatnot for like walls and again, funeral goods, but you will be able to get, you know, lumber and some of that yada yada there. And again, he's like, I know a dwarf. Again, with the finder's fee. So, 7 for the block, 5 for all the rope, and 3 for the finder's fee. So that's a total of, and the sheet. And anyway, so he writes the documents up on the spot. Stamp, stamp, lick, lick. A little bit of twist of wax from the mustache. Presses his sort of a glossy thumbprint on the bottom there. And that would be it. So, It's good you come to me this time of day. You're a smart one, Father. He says, for you, you know, it's been a slow day, you know, that type of thing. He's like, 15 drachmas, and that's a steal.
That sounds acceptable. Yes. And I'll turn and look to my companions here. It's been a while since I've bulk purchased items.
Oh, I trust my friend very much. He has never done me wrong. So if he says he's giving us a deal...
you're so kind. No, please. No, really. No.
Did we reach round three, Jeff?
Sorry?
Have we reached round three?
Oh, yeah. So getting back to the paladin.
Yeah.
So what do you got?
Power and location of each.
By round three? Okay.
Yeah.
There's a decently powerful source that's definitely a loud ping. And at first you think it's the man, and then you realize it's the hookah pipe set that he took off of the priest. In your vision, the, you know, black and necrotic flame kind of aura coming off of it. You know.
Master Arif,
yes?
Is it common for your culture to deal with artifacts of evil?
Well,
And one hand is on the sword hilt.
Normally, one appreciates the goodly nature of his neighbor.
I'm assuming you pull him aside. Are you just like blurting this out right in front of him? Because remember, I was talking to the cleric.
Yeah.
Okay.
And as I was saying, on one hand, points to the pole, we appreciate the goodly nature of our neighbors. Yet as acolytes of fate, we must understand that good cannot exist without the other.
Is it not the job of good to extinguish the evil?
By then, by the same turn of key, is it not evil's job to define good? By its very nature, it gives good purpose. For without evil, you would be... good would be... Without inert.
I was inert for 100 years.
Android mind blown.
See, without purpose, without the driving force that those things that oppose you give to you, they by their very nature define you. The more you fight these things, the more driven and propelled you can be to achieve everything that you must be, as designed by fate.
So you're saying I must confront the evil anytime I see it?
No, I didn't say that. I said we must recognize that all of our lives are not the same, and that by respecting, but by not tolerating things that misalign with us, that we can learn to observe the fates as they are written for us.
Very interesting, gentlemen. Obviously, a conversation that is meant for the steps of the Silver and Gold Temple, or perhaps the mausoleum, or perhaps a stiff drink after the market has closed, eh? But I must remind you, gentlemen.
Yes, my friends, you're causing a scene. Please.
The market
please,
will be closing soon. Please bring your purchases to the front in 10 seconds. You know, it's like, tries to break you guys up. Let's get on with the sale, right?
Yeah. Yes, my friends. We have time to discuss this later at the tavern. Let us get our goods and be on our way.
That's air. That flask is evil.
I'll reach out and fish a coin out from the purse as they walk off. It is more evil than this?
Thank you.
Wait, where are you going? Who's walking away? Wait, don't. You know, who's walking away? What?
as we kind of pull aside, I'll say, there has been incalculable evil done, all in the acquisition of this.
That is currency.
And as they fade their conversation to the side, I'll be like,
okay, yeah.
Terribly sorry, my friend. It is difficult when you are dealing with the clergy.
Tell me about it. But, you know.
And I'll take his little letter of rote and I'll say, you know. So
we have an agreement? 15 dakras, 15 gold, you know?
But of course, my friend. One moment, please, and I'll turn.
Okay.
Sleight of hand to dig out 17 coins, 23.
Sorry? Okay.
So I'll pull out the 15 coins.
Yeah.
Hand them to him.
Okay.
That extra couple coins there. And I'll say, terribly sorry for the inconvenience of dealing with these kind of customers. In the future, please keep your eyes open for any good deals you think that I could make use of.
Of course, my friend. His eyes lighting up. He seems to, you know, wear the mask, but the glint in his eye, not even so much as a haggle for everything he asked. You know, of course, my good friends, of course. You remember, when you think of purchasing or selling anything, you think of a deal, huh?
Of course, my friend, of course. We will be talking to you in the future, trust me on this one.
I hope so.
Very soon, very soon.
Okay, so he...
We'll see.
He, you know, does the look left and right. He says, but... A word of warning, make sure you always come to a deal first, eh? This is, this sort of, anyway, he goes behind his table, right? Pulls aside a little curtain and you see like a tiny little chess box, obviously where his money box is, right? Okay. Stands in front of it, turns around so you can't see what he's doing with it, and then comes back and the coins you gave him are gone, right? I says, okay. You might want to not act so conspicuous.
It is very difficult. I will tell you this. If it wasn't for the lottery, trust me, I would not have picked these as my companions. But you make do with what you make do with.
Yes, make do with what you have. And he reaches down, pulls the box, and shows you that it's empty. Those coins never went in the supposed obvious box, even though he shows you where it was, stepped in front of it so you couldn't see him, you know what I mean?
I'll just laugh. I understand, my friend.
Good.
Thank you very much. I appreciate all the help you have given me today, and I will see you tomorrow. You trust me, my friend, but I will tell you this. If you want sole selection of what we are bringing from the necropolis, it will not be cheap.
This is, of course. But remember, he says, if you deal solely with me, that is not the only deal I can make all day. I have to make a living. Any who come by my shop, I have to offer a comparable price. You'll understand.
But of course.
Okay.
Spit on my hand.
Now get out of here, kid. You bother me. You know?
Thank you.
Oh,
and a deal.
You
want to
do the
deal?
You do the hand spit? Oh, yeah. Totally. As sealed in blood, as sealed in water. And shakes your hand. Okay. Oh, come here, you. And we both pick each other's purse and end up with the same amount of money. It's a thing.
Yeah.
Come here, you. You know. Anyway, so meanwhile, back out here with Arif explaining to the android, you know, how evil money is. I like that, by the way. That's really good.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm.
You see, because it's the acquisition of this shiny coin. But really, and then he'll just kind of droning on and on about how money equals labor and how labor is the basis for all economy.
And I'll take advantage of the fact that they're having this mad philosophical debate of mm-hmm. the evils and the roots of them. And I'll go around and gather up the stuff, get the donkey, get the cart, you know. And
so you're going to like head down south alone kind of thing?
No, I'll kind of like lead them. You know what I mean?
Okay. Because camel and like livestock sales are not like right here in the marketplace. They would have like a prize sample, but then they would like, you like this? Head out to the barn on the edge of town and you get out there and it's, you know, that kind of thing. Or there'd be some livestock, but more likely at the trading post at the edge of town. Because adventurers aren't going to buy a camel downtown to stay downtown. You know what I mean?
So I'll hook the harness for the cart over the shoulder of R3N.
Who doesn't even acknowledge that that's happened.
Yeah. Okay.
The rest of the stuff goes in the cart, as well as Master Arif, as he's continuing to talk about.
Hang on a second. He gave you a recommendation to buy a cart and buy a donkey. You paid 15 gold for a block and tackle and four ropes.
Two blocks
and tackle and four rope.
Right. And I gave him a tip to curry his favor.
Right. Plus the finder's fee. Did I get this right? So that's 10 for the tackle.
Mm. We paid 15 gold for what would have normally cost us 14.
Right.
And then I gave him a little extra tip.
Right. Because you're suckers. I mean, because you're such good friends.
Such.
Now, may I remind the audience, I was like, oh, wow, the DM upped it a single gold. It's like, do you have any idea how far a gold piece goes in this town? Like, you know, it's like the guy's like, okay, he's looking at $300 worth of stuff and he upped it $200.
Like, I did get a 28 on my diplomacy initial negotiation.
Oh, yeah. We're such good friends, you know. trying to do a living. It's the end of the day, and yada yada. Like, I would have tried to rip you off. I mean, haggle much more if it wasn't the end of the day and without that role. So anyway, now getting to with his recommendation, right? Do you guys have the standard price for a cart?
Yeah, the cart was it 15? Yeah, 15 gold for the cart.
Mm-hmm.
And 8 gold for a donkey or a mule. I don't think we're going to go for a full camel. I think a donkey would do fine.
Okay, so you get his little cheat, right?
Yep.
And they ask 20 and 10. But because you brought me a deal signature and he's such a great guy, I'll take, you know, we'll take 18 and 9.
Oh, surely he can do much better than this. A deal assured me that you would give me the best possible price.
I am giving you the best possible
diplomacy
price.
Diplomacy of 27.
This starts at this for the cart. It's 20. Look, and he starts pointing around 20, 22, 25. You know, I already have rock bottom price, and I'm taking two more drachmas off for you because, you know, you're my cousin's sister's farmer's roommate, Adil's friend. And father, nod. Yeah.
How much was it for the bundled price?
He wants 20. No, you're a good guy. 18 for the 15 gold piece item. And he wants 10. No, you're such a great guy. 9 for the 8 gold piece item.
It's a little bit above the market price, but I can understand with the recent influx, things may not be as plentiful as they were before.
I tell you what. He says, Adil, he's getting old. He doesn't think this through. If you buy the harness, block, and tackle, for the mount to hitch up. It's a universal mount. You can hitch it to anything. Then I'll throw that in for the, you know, for said price.
That seems very fair, my friend.
Spit on my hand, reach out, we do that.
Yeah, there you go. And this very good, this very guy good. Like hawks a loogie. Like,
oh, so did I every time.
A chunky handshake once again.
The more solid the loogie, the better, you know, the more you can trust the deal.
Yeah, it's for
the more binding the deal.
Yeah, the more binding the deal.
The more the green so stain stays gross. On your hand. Right? There you go. There you go.
It's COVID.
Well, no, you like, imagine like two guys, right? And they both turn away at the same time. It's almost like Jazzy Jeff and Fresh Prince. Like, they both turn their heads, right? They both turn to spit, come together, shake, a deal. Right? And then both of you slide a hand to wipe it on the other guy. And that's how shit's done in this town.
It's so appropriate, though.
That's how it's done. Can I have a perception check from the paladin? I'll give you +2. From Arif, who's, you know, just kind of not really in this, and of course at par for... Actually, take a -2 for Matt, that's kind of wheeling and dealing.
Okay. 21 for Arif.
6 for wheeling and dealing.
Okay. Max. And our... Rinslow?
I think he's gay.
The Renaissance man? Okay, so he just wandered off.
He's no idea what's going on.
He's attacking the Sanctum of Silver and Gold. Such evil runs through this commerce, place of commerce. He's going to charge up the stairs with a sword.
Throwing his money. It must be off of me! Money is evil!
Yeah, can't get any headway because the crowd mobs him as soon as he drops the tinkling of coin. You ever get rushed from all sides by people like bowing down? Like, imagine a herd of people that are on all fours picking up your coin.
Only the people that worship me, Jeff. Yeah.
just imagine.
Such a hard life.
Just imagine. Okay, we'll go with Arif, because 21's good enough. You've been eyeballed. Like, at first, you know, you've run around with R3N before. He draws a lot of stares. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And now so many people have gone through. It's like the first time they see him. You know, they'll look at him for a while, but coming back through here or coming back through the same streets, it's kind of like, oh, there he is again, but not so much staring. You know, it's almost like they turn a parade around and come back the second time. Yeah. Right?
So Arif has the kind of disadvantage of naivete. So he sees somebody, you know, kind of makes that awkward eye contact for a moment, mm-hmm. and it holds for like a half second too long. You try to turn and the eyes are still... And so he'll just wave.
No. Okay. So R3N, can I have a perception, please? So Arif, this guy, you know, walked past you when you were way back on the other side of the market with a deal. And now this guy's like 4 stalls away looking at scarves and actually purchasing one when you're looking his way and kind of wrapping his face in it. And, you know, the merchant's like doing that, oh yeah, that's the thing, man. You know, it's just kind of, right? You see a man wearing no armor, wearing Gurundi dress clothes, and he has sandals, and he has a little bit of rope and bindings around his hands and his arms, and a mohawk. And he's buying, like, a basic black or, you know, charcoal-colored scarf, right? And they keep, like, no, you need to keep pulling it off of him, going, no, you want this one, the bright red one. Oh, look at this, you know, you can kind of see, like, right? He keeps picking up the black charcoal one, like, no, I like the feel, you know, they're like, no, look at this, and they're draping, you know, scarves over him, or trying, here, you know, holding up two, buy both of these, you know, that kind of thing, right? Anyway.
It's a very slimming color.
Yeah, there you go. And now, like, this is what's going on 4 booze away, but you recognize he was watching you guys before. R3N with 14, right?
Yes.
You just spot this man for the first time, and for some reason he's, you know, he's buying a scarf or whatever, but he just seems to be, maybe Arif knows him, because now Arif's calling out to him.
Hmm. Master Arif, is that a compatriot of yours?
No, I just passed him, you know, once or twice shopping. That's all. He's over there getting scarves. The black is slimming!
You're what the adjective is as popular.
Well, it's nice to be helpful. You never know when you may need to tap on a certain skill set that someone possesses. You don't want to be prickly right off the boot, so to speak.
Prickly,
off the boot. Yeah,
sharp.
Irritating, I guess would be a proper conversion of vernacular.
Oh. Yes,
it's always best to present your best face.
I assumed you only had one face, too.
Okay.
But do we? We all wear masks, so, and then he'll
Okay. It kind of devolve, you know, the guy buying the scarf has just suddenly been forgotten as Aerith begins to kind of fall into another
conversation. Okay. So let me ask you this. So are you guys happy with the deals you made today? Anything else?
Just one quick stop to pick up a bowstring.
Okay.
Nothing serious. I can grab it from any stall. It's a common.
Yep. Copper, sure.
But he who has little of personal wealth fears the least from a robber, so yeah, I'm comfortable.
So take this gold off your party loot here, please.
So 17 and...
I wanted... He wanted...
18 and 9, so yeah. 17, 27, 44, 6, 56.
Okay. Now, I'll be a good sport. Adil had the bowstring and, yeah.
Ooh, I can't change the party sheet.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
I got it. So,
this is 100% a bear market.
Right at the moment.
56.
Okay. Well, you guys are going to start making a boatload.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is pocket change.
No.
This was our tonight in town money.
Yeah. I didn't go over so well. So changing the scene back, you guys have been in town buying things.
Yeah. We'll hook the cart up, load the gear in, bind it down. Okay.
So getting the animal, getting the documents, buying this is also permits and stuff. Like, they have a reason for more money. So that's also, you know, also in the argument of all the extra money, there's permits to have livestock in town, permits to own it, or, you know, blah, blah, blah. And that's all in the, you know, it's not just, I'm buying a horse. Okay. And then the guard rolls up, you got a permit for that? What? You know, so, oh yeah, permits and blah, he's got good teeth, you know, everything. So seems expensive, but then you realize there's actually a bunch of paperwork that all has to go up to Pharaoh. By the time, you know, an hour or so, by the time you guys, head back to the Whispering Stone, you know, there's more clientele there, people eyeballing you. You guys want to, got anything else you want to do tonight before you guys crash, reset, head back, anything?
Stable the stables, look into that the Whispering Stone. And
yeah, well, you know, the donkey needs new plates, right? So, you know, there's, you don't pick it up from the vendor right away. They got to get you new plates and permits and, you know, so you got to worry about stabling right now. Yeah,
okay.
You know, that kind of thing. So,
Master Aerith, do you require sustenance?
I do feel a bit peckish, but I could eat something.
Master Vex, do you require sustenance?
Master Vex, one could get used to this. I am always game for wine, my friend.
Let's make an evening of it. Ren, shall we?
It'll kind of hold his arm out so you can hook him by the elbow.
Arthurian pokes him, uncomfortably so. Yes, Master Aerith, of course we can grab a sustenance. A wine? What is wine?
What is wine? Oh, my friend, do I have a lesson for you this evening?
Aerith knows the best peelers in town, you know. fast forward several hours into the evening, right? And you get the scene with Legolas and Gimli drinking, and Legolas is just kind of unsure about his cup. He's just kind of sitting there. There's our three end just going, oh yeah, this is good, you know. Aerith is surrounded by women just giggling at everything he says, even though he's like lecturing them on tomes and books and history, and because he's a guy with the money, they're just all, oh yeah, right. Meanwhile, you know, out in the center floor, surrounded, throwing mad cash around, and, you know, half naked is our Sully putting on a good show. Anyway,
burning money like it's,
yeah,
like it's there to burn.
It is there to burn.
Wouldn't it be smelting money?
You wake up
smelting it.
You wake up smelting. You guys wake up the next day, right?
It's got to be a Jewish word. It's got to be
smelting.
Smelting.
Smelt it down together. How much for a bar of gold to put all together? You guys wake up the next day. And you find yourselves at the Whispering Stone, lined up on cots and straw mats on the floor. And you wonder, you know, did last night really happen? Or is it just a really good Sully dream? You know,
or was it a good montage?
Was it just a montage? The GM was just messing with you. I guess you'll never know, because there's no tattoos, no evidence, no extra.
I could almost swear that one Grundy girl had three breasts.
cut the mic, and we'll see you next time.
That was a goat.
That certainly explains her breath.